Blog Talk Radio.
And as you can see, this is not our typical Grace Fellowship band up here. This is called the Daystar Project. They've been around for about 7 years, and they've been bringing the message of Christmas to churches in this area over that time. And they are a real blessing. And when I say you're in for a treat, you're in for a treat this morning. So why don't we welcome the Daystar Project?
Kyle, that'll get you going this evening. Good evening, Sister and Evangelist Montel Fields and Dustin. And I'm Brian Fouts.
And I'm Leah Fouts.
And this evening, we are excited to be back here on the Reaching Out radio program, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And for those of you in the listening area, Leah and I are with Huzzock Ministries. Our ministry was started with the vision to bring hope, healing, and encouragement to those who are hurting, lost, or hopeless.
The word chazak is a Hebrew word. It means to make or to be strong, to strengthen, to sustain, to support, and to encourage. We hope that you, our listeners, will be encouraged with our message today.
That's right. And listen, and toward the end of our program here, after a while, you're going to have if you've got a question or comment that you've been thinking about, we're going to give you time to call us in at the end of our dialogue here, so please feel free to give us a call. You can reach Montel or Leah or myself later by calling 347-308-8837. And that phone number again is 347-308-8837, and we look forward to hearing from you. And before we start, we just want to let you know that during our historical update tonight, you probably hear us mention that word of the date of December 3rd. Well, that was our show for last Thursday, and we had to postpone until tonight. So don't get upset with us if the dates don't match with today for the 8th, and you'll just sit back and you'll have fun. So with that, Leah, it's all yours.
That sounds great. I was going to say, just figure that we're a little off. That's okay. Before we start, I'd like to open the program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to be on this radio show and share you, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray for protection for Montel and for Reaching Out Radio. We pray against any technical difficulties, against any demonic powers in the airwaves. And we just praise you, Lord, and pray that you will be glad when you hear the show too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, greetings from the hill in New Ulm, Texas.
Good evening, y'all.
And before we get started, Lee and I just always like to share with you an important reminder about our show, about our topics and our discussion.
Our hope and prayer is that this show would be informational, educational, and should provide you, the listener, with some great ideas to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. So, Brian, let's get started.
Camelot. Camelot.
Oh, I loved that musical. It was one of my very favorites.
It was. And in fact, our first Christmas, I got you a dancing prince on a little horse riding around a castle, a little electric charm thing that would song. It was a music box, yeah, and it sang Camelot. That was kind of pretty cool. Well, it would be on this date in 1960 that Lerner and Lowe musical called Camelot would open live on Broadway at the Majestic Theater in New York City.
And also, another one of my all-time favorite music groups, the Monkees, performed live in Honolulu, Hawaii. This would be their first concert performed live.
Hey, hey, we're the Monkees, and we don't monkey around. And what's interesting about that performance was they only did all of their music live there on the television set. So this was a pretty big thing for them to come out in Hawaii and do a live performance. So, Leah, with that, what do you have for us in Jewish history today?
Well, in 1656, in the first entry in the diary of Thomas Burton, he recorded the activities of Parliament during the era of Oliver Cromwell and provided a written record of the assurance of the right of Jews to remain in England.
Boy, isn't that something? It seems like every time we read somewhere they gave assurances to the Jews and then later they were kicking them out.
Yep.
Well, now that was pretty interesting. And here are some really neat facts that I did not know. And Montel, you and your family ought to be interested in this. It would be on this date in 1818 that Illinois became the 21st state admitted to the Union.
No, wait a minute. That's Jewish history?
Sets us up for the next bit of interesting history facts about Jewish history in the U.S., especially for Illinois.
Okay.
Well, according to the Jewish history books, John Hayes was the first Jewish pioneer in Illinois. And he served as the county sheriff and the collector of internal revenue before the territory became a state. Later, German Jews would build the first synagogue in 1851 in Chicago, calling it the Congregation of the Men of the West. And by the end of the decade, Polish Jews had started their own congregation, and a group of Reformed Jews had split away from the Men of the West, and they formed their own synagogue called the Sinai Congregation.
Hmm.
And it would be at this time that the Jewish population of Illinois was large enough that it would end up providing over 1,100 volunteers to fight in the Union Army.
So, Brian, anything in world history for today?
Well, here's something kind of interesting. It was in 1586, and Sir Thomas Harriot introduces potatoes to England from South America, from Colombia.
Hey, wait a minute. I always thought potatoes came from Ireland.
Well, not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
Well, you see, in the history of the potatoes, it actually started when the Spanish invaders went to Peru, and they found the white potatoes, and they used them as cheap food for sailors during the 1530s.
Huh.
And then the first potato from South America reached Pope Paul III in 1540. It must have been a long boat trip. And then it was grown in France. At first, it was really grown as an ornamental plant. I wonder if they used them for Christmas tree ornaments or something. And according to popular tradition, it was finally introduced to Ireland by 1565 by John Hawkins. It was then later brought to England from Colombia, South America, by Sir Thomas Harriot in 1586.
Wow, that was really neat to learn.
So, Leah, what do you have for us?
Well, jumping back across the pond to the U.S. of A., in 1775, the first official U.S. flag was raised aboard the naval vessel, the USS Alfred. It was called the Grand Union Flag.
Alfred! No, that's Alvin. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And, hush you, this was cool. In 1833, Oberlin College in Ohio became the first truly coeducational college.
Wow, now that one's for history books, all you women out there. A coeducational college back in 1833. Now, I didn't know that at all.
So, Brian, what happened in weird history besides you being born? You know?
Oh, thanks, dear.
Weird.
Well, it's kind of weird. You see, it was in 1910, and neon lights went on the public display for the very first time at the Paris Auto Show.
Now, that does seem weird.
Well, and in 1926, detective novelist Agatha Christie mysteriously disappears for 11 days. More on that news later. And most of you out there in the audience may remember this one. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, yes. It was 1931, and Alka-Seltzer goes on sale everywhere.
And here's something really special for the young women out there. In 1947, Mary Halloran was a full colonel and was appointed director of the entire Women's Army Corps, which is what we call WACS now.
Wax. Didn't they also have things like waves, like wax on, waves off, or something like that?
Yeah, they did. They were called waves for short.
Okay, so were they also in the service?
Yes, they were. Waves stood for the Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Service. This was the World War II women's branch of the United States Naval Reserve. It was established on the 21st of July, 1942, by the U.S. Congress and signed into law by the President on the 30th of July, 1942, as the Title V Amendment to the Naval Reserve Act of 1938.
Well, now, that was some really great history, but I want to know about the wax. What about the wax?
Well, to finish, on June 12th, 1948, when the WAC was officially integrated into the Army, she became the first woman to serve as a regular Army officer. There had been female members of the Army Medical Corps since 1947. Colonel Halloran would become the first officer commissioned in regular Army.
Now, that's a really great story of inspiration for all the women out there.
Ta-da-da, ta-da-da, ta-da-da. It's time for our sports history update.
You've been waiting to do
that
all week.
I've been waiting all week.
Okay, well, in 1946, Glenn Woodward, Mr. Outside Davis, was awarded the 12th Heisman Trophy Award today.
Hey, wait, hold on. Are you setting me up again for another weird story?
Well, it's kind of weird, but it's really true. It's all true, dear.
Okay, I'll bite. Who was this guy, and why was he called Mr. Outside?
Well, the story goes like this. While Glenn was at West Point, he was coached under Coach Earl Blake. And Glenn Davis played fullback in his freshman year for the coach. Then Coach Blake moved him to halfback for the remainder of his three varsity seasons. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, there was another player named Doc Blanchford who took over the position of fullback.
Are you going somewhere with this?
Yep, I am. So with Davis and Doc Blanchard, Army went 27-0-1 tie in the years of 1944, 45, and 46.
Wow.
And Davis was nicknamed Mr. Outside, while his buddy Doc Blanchford was Mr. Inside.
That is just too funny. Really?
Yes, really. And for you sports fans out there, Davis averaged 8.3 yards per carry over his career and an astounding 11.5 yards per carry in 1945.
Wow.
And both of those results are still records which still stand today.
Wow.
And Davis led the nation in 1944 with 120 points. Hmm. And he scored 59 touchdowns, including 8 in his freshman squad and in his career. And his single season high mark of 20 touchdowns stood as a record for over 10 years. Now, Blanchford and his buddy then set a record of a duo of 97 career touchdowns by two teammates together.
Wow.
And that record was finally broken by the University of South California backs Reggie Bush and Lindale White, who between the two of them had 99 career touchdowns.
Cool.
And in 2007, Davis was ranked as number 13 on ESPN's list of the top 25 players in college football history.
Now, those were some really interesting football facts. I love football. And I found one that was pretty amazing.
Well, you did? So what did you find?
It was 1950, and the Cleveland Browns' Horace Gillum would set a club record with 12 punts in one game.
12 punts in a game?
This happened while the Cleveland Browns were the last NFL team that played a game, which was a no-pass game. They went on to beat Philadelphia 13-7.
Wow.
No passing.
Wow, no passing. How about that? Well, and to top out our history segment for this evening, it would be on this date in 1950 that a young man from Oklahoma would begin a brand new and exciting journey into a new career. He was an avid pilot throughout his life, and he served in the U.S. Army Air Corps from 1943 to 1944. And this new journey that he began was a radio broadcasting journey where he broadcasted live on the air. And that young man, well, it was none other than Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey?
And now you know the rest of the story.
So, Brian, what do we have for our listeners today?
Well, today we're going to be starting a brand new study series on the reason for the season. And this is going to be part one this evening.
Just a second, I dropped my thing. This is going to be fun. I've been looking forward to doing this series since last month. I love Christmas.
I know. And we also shared that we'd be adding something special each week, and it all has something to do with Christmas.
And we will be sharing some really neat stories that you can share with your children and grandchildren.
And if you'd like a copy of one of the stories that we tell, you can always send me an email. No, that's not Brian to the North Pole, Leah. You can send it to Brian at HazakMinistries.com. That's B-R-I-A-N, Brian at Hazak, H-A-Z-A-K, Ministries.com. Again, that's Brian at HazakMinistries.com, and I'll send you that story. So with that, Leah, if you've got it, your thing together over there, why don't we get started?
Okay, I'd love to. Don't forget, folks, get your Bibles, your iPad or iPhone or your special reading device, and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven.
And as a reminder, we always tell you that we'll be using different Bible translations from time to time. We do that so that it kind of goes with the words with our storyline. So, Leah, again, it's all yours.
Okay, Brian. Well, let's get started.
Can you feel it?
Feel what, Brian?
It's in the air.
What's in the air?
It's that wonderful time of the year. La da da.
Oh, man. It can't be already.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, wow, I'm already breaking into song just thinking about this glorious season.
Oh, no.
Oh. Tis the season to be jolly. Well, la, 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 la. Well, you know the rest of the song.
I haven't even finished with Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah, I know, but you know me.
Yes, you are such a kid at times.
I am such a little boy. Well, listen, today we're going to be talking about the reason for the season. So, first, why don't we talk about that word reason, and let's find out what it really means.
Well, okay, I looked it up in the dictionary and found this. Reason is a basis or cause as for some relief, a belief, an action, a fact, an event.
Relief, huh?
Yeah. So my tongue is all tangled up. You know, my tongue's all tangled up. It's also a statement presented in justification or explanation of a belief or action. And another definition is the mental powers concerned with forming conclusions, judgments, or inferences.
Boy, that's a mouthful. So did you find a scripture verse to go with this?
Well, of course I did. This is from Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool.
And that word reason in Hebrew is the word yahak. And it means to prove or to decide, to judge, to rebuke, to reprove, to correct. Yeah, and I know you'll like this one, to be right.
Oh, yes. I also like that part where it says to prove and be right.
Yeah, I thought you would like that. I'm always right, you say.
Yes, that word in Greek is the word moed, and it means an appointed time or place or meeting.
A moed, is that like that little scooter that goes down the road?
No, it's not the little scooter.
Okay. Well, now, moed, now that was really cool. So let's talk about that next word, season. What does the word season mean?
The word season means a time characterized by a particular circumstance or feature, or suitable or natural time or occasion, an indefinite period of time, and a period of the year characterized by or associated with a particular activity or phenomenon. Also, the four seasons, you know, like summer, fall, winter, and spring.
Four seasons? The music group, the four seasons?
No. The four seasons of the year.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Well, so did you find a neat verse to go with that word, season, today?
Of course I did. And the verse that fits with our study today is found in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. But for now, I'm just going to read verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens.
Oh, I just love that verse.
So what did you find out about this word in Hebrew?
Well, that word season and the word for Hebrew is zaman, and it means to set a time or an appointed time. So while we're on the subject, let me ask you this. What is the reason for the season?
Well, I think that it's the time to reflect and remember those things that are important in our lives.
Okay. Any others?
Yeah. I think that it's equally important to remember what the season or Christmas is all about, especially that we remember about that special birth of the Christ child and what it really means.
Well, now, that's a great answer, Leah.
So, Brian, what does the word season mean to you?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that, and during my reflection time out here on the back porch overlooking the rolling landscape out here and on the hill in Texas, that word season came to my mind. It just jumped out right at me right there. And I felt a leap in my spirit and in my heart when that word came to mind.
Okay. We're talking about the reason for the season, but why is it important for us to remember the season?
Well, my darling bride, first, it's the time of good cheer and celebration, and it's a great time to remember.
Ooh, I get it.
And in the book of Luke, the disciples shared the good news and why we should celebrate that season.
I want to do this one, please.
Okay, honey, it's all yours.
This is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 from the New American Standard Version. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
That is a wonderful story about this season. And second, this is also a time to remember what that season is really about. Now, there's a thought just for you.
To remember?
Yes, dear, to remember. Okay, now, remember last week I asked you a question on that word, remember?
Remember what?
Oh, you silly girl. I asked you, what does it really mean to remember?
The online dictionary defines the word remember as follows: to bring to mind or think of again, remember the old days, you know, to keep in mind for attention or consideration, to exercise or have the power of memory, or to have a recollection or remembrance.
I kind of like that answer. I especially like that part about having the power of memory to recollect something, and memories are good. You know, it's like I'm always telling people I'm looking for their hereafter. That's when I go into another room and I wonder what I'm here after.
Yeah, right. Yes, memories are great. And I know that you probably looked something up about the word remember in Hebrew, didn't you?
I did, and you know me. I love doing that. Now, in the Hebrew, that word for remember is zakar, which means to be brought into remembrance or to be remembered or thought of or to be brought to mind.
Zakar, is that like bring me Zakar and I'll drive home?
Yeah, you got me on that one, you silly girl. All right, well, listen, moving on. But here's something neat. According to the Strong's Concordance, that word appears 172 times in the Bible.
Wow, that is a bunch.
It is a bunch. So then why is it important to remember, and what in the world does that have to do with the season?
Well, for starters, God left us a couple of messages. This is from Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "So Moses said to the people, 'This is a day to remember forever, the day you left Egypt, the place of your slavery. Today the Lord has brought you out by the power of his mighty hand.'"
And that is a powerful reminder. And here's another one. And this is from Genesis chapter 9, verse 15. And I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Bible. And it reads, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh."
And there's this reminder. The Lord gave us, his children, some reminders to remember his promises. His promise to never destroy the earth by water again, to bring his people out of slavery in Egypt, to give them a promised land, to bring hope to the lost and hurting, to send a redeemer and give us a savior, to give us a helper in the Holy Spirit, and to bless us to be a blessing for others.
And those are great and wonderful reminders. Those are really cool. So listen, while we're on the subject of stories from the Bible, We thought it would be neat to share with you about a woman who also had a great reminder of God's promise.
Would that be Mary?
Well, yeah, but for now, for tonight, we're going to talk about her Thursday. But I thought it would be fun for us to talk about Elizabeth tonight.
Great. I was hoping we'd talk about her this week because this is the one who the Lord placed on my heart this past week and that it was time to tell her story.
Well, that sounds like you're all geared up for this one.
You betcha.
Well, then it's all yours, my dear.
Now, listeners, I'm going to be sharing the story of Elizabeth from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 to 49. Use this as a reference as we begin to share this amazing story of Elizabeth. So close your eyes. And I want you to pretend as if you are there, right there in that special place and time.
Okay, my eyes are closed.
Our story starts here. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea.
Wow, all the way back there. Am I there yet?
Yes, dear, I can see you there now. It was at this time that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a relative named Elizabeth. She was actually a cousin, and her husband was Zacharias.
So who were these people?
Oh, quit. Well, Luke 1, 5 through 7 says, Zacharias was a priest in the temple, and Elizabeth was one of the daughters of Aaron. Verse 6 tells us that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless.
Well, that was pretty neat.
And then we find out that they had no children.
What? They didn't have any children? Why was that?
Well, the Bible tells us that she was barren.
Barren? You mean like a lord or a baron, like a landowner?
No, not that. The word barren means that she could never have a child. And both of them, Elizabeth and Zacharias, were now old in years.
Too old to have kids?
Yes, that means that the two of them were well beyond the age of having children.
Wow, that old, huh?
But Elizabeth really wanted to have children. This was one of the things that all Jewish women hoped and prayed for, to have children. And do you know why, Brian?
No, Leah, why?
Because all Jewish women back then wanted to be the mother of the future Messiah.
Wow, now that was cool to know. That's something great for women to know.
Yeah, it was great. And back then, it was a sign of disfavor from God if you could not have children. And they both had been praying for a child.
Wow. Okay. So what happened next?
Well, one day while at the office, Zacharias was performing his duties at the temple.
Was he a musician?
No, he was a priest. Listen.
Okay.
History tells us that he was a member of the Abijah priesthood, that the priesthood in the temple was divided into 24 divisions of priests. They had a lot of priests.
Wow, that was cool. So what did the priests do? Did they handle the musicians in the temple?
Really, Brian? The priests of each division served twice a year. The Abijah was the eighth division of the priests. Why don't you read from Luke 1, verse 9 for me, Brian?
Okay. Well, this is coming from the Amplified Bible, and here's how it reads. As was the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord and to burn incense on the altar of incense.
You see, this was a very high honor for Zacharias.
Well, how so? Why was it such a high honor?
Well, John MacArthur's notes shared that in verse 9, because of the large number of priests in the temple, most would never be chosen for this duty, and no one was permitted to serve in that capacity twice. How's that? Zacharias no doubt regarded this as the supreme moment in a lifetime of priestly service.
Okay.
So, while he was doing his duty, he'd gone into the temple to burn incense before the Lord, and there were many people outside waiting and praying for him.
So, why was he burning incense?
Again, using MacArthur's notes, the incense was kept burning perpetually. That means all the time. Just in front of the veil that divided the holy place from the most holy place.
You don't say.
The lone priest would offer the incense every morning and every evening, while the rest of the priests and worshipers stood outside the holy place in prayer.
Okay, so what happened next?
Well, this was really cool. I'll let Luke tell the story. Why don't you read, starting in verse 11, Brian?
All right. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him.
Isn't it interesting that fear gripped Zacharias?
You know, I've heard people say over and over the years that whenever someone said that they saw angels, that they were huge.
That's right. And this won't be the only times that we'll talk about angels. So continue on with the story.
Okay. So the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth."
Isn't it interesting that the angel told Zacharias that his prayer request or petition had been heard?
And you know that many times for a lot of us, we wonder sometimes if God is really hearing our prayers. And this should be a great reminder to all of us about being specific in our prayer request to God.
That's right. And we're told that then the angel told him that they would have a son, which was always a great honor for men, because that meant the family heritage would live on.
And I just love the fact that the angel gave Zacharias a name to give to his son, because you see, that was usually left up to the father of the child. But guess what? Not this time.
And I loved the last part. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth.
Oh, that is such a great story. And here is a great promise and reminder from the Lord about this child.
To continue, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God.
You know, that is still a great, awesome story.
Yes.
But you know, the story does not stop there. You see, there is a future in this child. And it's important for all of us as parents and grandparents that have children to speak a future into that child's life, because they were not only made in the image of the Lord our God, but each and every one of us has been given a plan and a purpose for our life. And we need to continually encourage one another to seek out what that purpose is, so that we can be about doing the will of the Lord who has sent us to do kingdom works.
That's right. So tell us what it says in the scripture.
Well, in the scripture it says, "It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
And then Zacharias responded with this, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Isn't that just like a man or woman to react? We're so quick to doubt and allow fear to grip us. "Oh, I just can't do this because I'm too old."
Now, that was funny. You know, and I loved how Gabriel responded back. He said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time."
Ouch. Well, shut my mouth.
That's exactly what happened. Open mouth and insert foot, and it ain't coming out until that baby's here.
Now remember, Zacharias was in the temple praying, and everyone else was outside waiting for him to come out.
That's right. The people were outside waiting for his return to come out and to pronounce the blessing, because that's what the priest did.
This was a blessing that came from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 to 27. most of you out there in the audience will be familiar with this blessing.
Well, and you should, because you probably recited it in your church at one time or another. And
yep.
It reads like this from the King James Bible. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
So, the people are still waiting outside for Zacharias. Where is that man?
Yeah, I know. Hurry up. I'm ready to go home. Well, starting at verse 21, we learn that the people were waiting for Zacharias and wondering at his delay in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. He couldn't speak. And when the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home.
So he was literally screaming his hands off at the people, right? Then he went home.
Yeah, he's probably up there, couldn't even talk, and he's up moving his hands, and they're thinking, like, is he trying to give us directions to go home or what? But he just, I think when he finished, he just said, I'm done here, off to the casa. Okay, so Leah, what happens with Elizabeth?
Well, Luke 24 says it better than I can. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men.
Oh, well, that's kind of interesting. So why do you think that Elizabeth felt disgrace? I mean, this kind of seems odd.
Well, history notes suggest that being barren carried a stigma or a feeling of disgrace in the Old Testament. Not being able to produce a child carried a sign of divine disfavor with the Lord or Yahweh, but not always. Still, it could be a social stigma that was possibly humiliating.
Wow, even back then. And, you know, it's sad to see when people still kind of carry on these same signs and behave the same way in today's times.
So later, as history tells us, a baby boy was born to Elizabeth. And what do we remember about this baby boy?
Well, I imagine probably like all new baby boys being born, everyone in the neighborhood came by for looksy. Oh, I got to carry and hold the baby. And they probably brought gifts and a message of goodwill. And, of course, the man was out there passing scars out, I guess.
You're pretty smart for a boy. Luke tells us in Luke 1, verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy.
Aw, that's so sweet.
So what happened next?
Well, I think there's a certain tradition that took place during that time. Well, you know, better yet, I think I'll just let Luke tell us the next part of that story. And then he said, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zacharias. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he's going to be called John. And so what do you think the people around her said?
Oh, they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name.
And then this was pretty cool. What happened next?
Then they made signs to his father, Zacharias, to find out what he would like to name the child.
Well, of course they did. And this next part is really cool.
So Zacharias asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote the following. His name is John.
Can't you just see that today somebody handed him an Etch-a-Sketch, and he's over there, his name is John, and hold it up. Well, now that must have really stunned everybody in that room when that happened.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. But here's the amazing part of the story and how God showed up. Immediately after he wrote that, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God.
Isn't that neat? He didn't start talking like, oh, gosh, my tongue's been tied up for so long, I got to speak now. He immediately started praising God. And what about the neighbors?
Well, all the neighbors were filled with awe. And then Luke shared this. All throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him.
Man, Leah, that was awesome. It was just awesome, awesome, awesome.
Now, that is a story worth remembering.
Well, and you are so right, Leah. And if you think about it, this really is a season in which there are lots of things happening. You know, this can be a season of thankfulness, a season of hope. It can be a season of change.
That's right. And this is a season of expectation and a season to remember.
And so where is that promise for the reason for the season?
Well, we were given a great promise from Paul. This is from Romans 15, verse 4. I'm reading this from the New American Standard Bible. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope.
You know, and Leah, from time to time, we've gotten emails and phone calls from people who said, you know, when you're on the radio show, can't you talk a little bit more about your life, your journey, and things that have happened to you? And so we thought for tonight, what we'd like to do is to share with you some of the things that we remember about us and our family at this time of the season. You see, we remember this season for His supernatural peace and the loss of our only daughter.
We remember the restoration of our marriage.
And we remember the preparation that the Lord took us through for a new journey in life.
We remember the revelation for the vision of a ministry.
That's right, that vision for a ministry called Hazak Ministries. And we remember the dream that He gave us for the title of our book, From Misery to Ministry, A Walk of Faith. That was a powerful dream.
We also remember the opportunities He's given us to minister to those who've lost a loved one.
And we've ministered to many.
Yes.
And, you know, we remember that we have been blessed to be a blessing to others. You know, but most of all, we remember the reason for the season, and that is His love and His salvation. And as I tell people, without Christ, we're nothing but dust, and everything else is just stuff.
For this we have eternal life and an opportunity to bring hope, healing, and encouragement to those who are hurting, lost, and wounded in this world.
And, you know, during this season, Leah and I want you to remember the reasons for the season, and we encourage you to share them with your loved ones.
And before we close, we thought it would be great to share a special Christmas story that we found. This is one you can share with your family.
So what story is that, Leah?
Oh, you know, the one you found about the angel Gabriel. That was a great story.
Oh, so you want me to tell that story?
Duh, of course I do. And why don't you start it now?
Okay, so where do I begin?
How about at the beginning?
This is like a baseball joke.
No.
It all happened in the beginning?
No.
All righty then. Well, this is a story that actually was written by Dr. Ralph F. Wilson. And Dr. Wilson was kind enough to respond to one of my emails this past week, and he gave us permission to read that story on the air this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. The story is called The Angel Gabriel's Most Sensitive Mission. As the tall, stately angel rose and walked toward the front of the chapel, there was a buzz among the cadets. Gabriel was a living legend. He cleared his throat. I've been asked to speak to you today about what I've learned throughout my career. Foremost is this. We are servants of the Most High God. This lesson I learned not during my days here at the Academy, but from a human being. In fact, a girl. I had been summoned before God to be briefed on a new mission. He told me, Gabriel, you have a most delicate assignment. I'm sending my son to redeem the earth. To do this, he must become a human himself. Your mission is to announce this plan to the young woman whom I have chosen to be his mother. Her name is Mary. She lives in the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and she is betrothed to be married. That means that she's already considered a wife, though is living at home until the final ceremonies a few months from now. And Gabriel, she is a virgin. He went on to describe my role and brief me on the various contingencies, concluding with these words, Gabriel, by all means, be gentle. I arrived one spring morning as Mary was climbing the path from the well and came to where I was sitting on a large boulder. She's only a child, I thought when I first saw her. Only 12 or 13. Betrothed at that age? But such were the customs of that place, and I was assured that the father knows what he's doing. As she approached, I stood, dressed as I always dress, long white robe, golden sash, and so forth. "Greetings, Mary," I began. She gasped. I continued, "Hail, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." All of the color drained from her face. I motioned for her to sit. She carefully removed the full water jug from her head and sat down and then eased herself onto the far end of the rock. "Don't be afraid, Mary," I said. "You have found favor with God." I waited for a moment for her to calm down. "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You are to name him Jesus." She appeared stunned by these words, but I continued, "Your son will become a great man. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. And what's more, the Lord God will give him the throne of his David, his ancestor, and he will reign as Messiah over Israel forever. And of his kingdom and reign, there will be no end." I paused. The message shocked me. I couldn't imagine the impact it must have had on her. She was quiet for a time. Then she asked in her young teenage voice, "How will this happen since I am not yet married?" I answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, your son will be born that will be holy, and he will be called Son of God." Amazing! The father was prepared to rest his entire Christ enterprise on this young girl, and her response, her whim, her decision. She was to be the mother of God's own son, so young. And I continued to reassure her, "And now your Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son." Mary murmured, "Old Elizabeth? Really? Oh!" I could just see a glimmer of a twinkle return to her eyes. "Yes, they called her barren, but she's already 6 months pregnant." Mary was almost grinning for a moment. Then I saw her smile fade. I couldn't read her thoughts, but could only imagine what she must be thinking. How could she ever explain this to anyone? Who would understand? Who would ever believe her? Her father would be furious and her mother deeply hurt. And Joseph? There'd be no wedding. Her dreams of marriage and family vanished like that in an instant. And the town's fathers? Would they try to stone her? I'd been given only one sentence by the father which to respond. "Nothing will be impossible with God," I said. "Nothing." She was quiet a moment longer, lost in her thoughts. Then she looked up at me with clear eyes and said intently, "Here I am. I am the Lord's servant, his handmaid. Let what you have said come to pass." She stood up, and as she began to lift the heavy water jug to her shoulder and then hoist it up to her head, I reached out to help, but she shook her head and lifted it up herself. As she made her way up to the path to the village, her steps were assured, almost like a slight spring to them. And at the top of the hill, she steadied the jar with one hand and waved to me with the other. Then she was lost from view. And that is how I met Mary. She taught me what it means to be a servant when it's hard to obey, and when there seems to be no hope except God's promise. Mary took the words, "For nothing will be impossible with God," and believed them. So whenever I struggle with obedience, I think of this young girl who began a servant's journey with the words, "I am the servant, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be, let it come, I am his servant. And with that, the tall angel touched the corner of his eye for a moment, then stepped down and took his seat. You see, Gabriel had learned servanthood from an even greater servant than himself, a young virgin from Nazareth named Mary. I'm Brian Fouts.
And I'm Leah Fouts.
And we are with Hazak Ministries, an encouragement ministry out here on the hill in New Ulm, Texas.
Just as a reminder, we've written a book on how we got our journey into ministry. It's called From Misery to Ministry, A Walk of Faith Through the Loss of a Loved One. It's a wonderful book that brings hope, healing, and encouragement to those who've lost a loved one. It's easy to read and will make an impact in your life. The book is available in both a paperback and a special edition hardbound copy as well. We even have an audio book. And yes, Brian and I recorded the audio book.
Hoorah, hoorah!
You can learn more about how to order this book by visiting our website at www.hazakministries.com. That website address, again, is www.hazakministries.com.
Hey there, girl, isn't there something else they should know, too?
Oh, yeah. When you order the book from our website, Brian and I will personally sign your book or books. We ship the books first class so that you can have it in 2 to 3 days. And if you buy one for a friend, we'll ship it directly to their address from here. They make good gifts.
Oh, and speaking of great gifts, what else do we have?
Oh, yeah. Just as a reminder, Brian's newest keyboard CD is now available. It's called Joyful. This is the second keyboard CD that he's recorded. It's awesome, and it is anointed.
And this can be a great addition to your music collection if you've got one, and it makes a great gift for those who love music, especially keyboard music. And we have found that pastors and lay leaders, as well as worship leaders, have used this CD for their study time and for their prayer time and their devotion time.
Listen to this CD for that time when you can sit back, relax, and just listen to soothing sounds and reflections of God's music. The Joyful CD and Reflections CD are now available on our website. You can find out more by visiting our website at www.hazakministries.com. That website, again, is www.hazakministries.com.
Oh, thank you, my bride. And if you would like for Leah or myself to come to speak at your church, to your men's or women's group, a special event that you might be having, maybe a Bible study group or a grief or bereavement support group, please feel free to give us a call. You can reach us on our mobile number at 832-878-8043. That mobile number, again, is 832-878-8043. And, yeah, I'm even almost old enough that I can read a text, so you can send me a text there as well. And you can also reach us on our handy-dandy landline out here on the hill in New Ulm, Texas. That phone number out here is 979-357-2215. If you've got your pad and pencil out, that number again is 979-357-2215. And Lee and I want to thank you, the listeners of Reaching Out Radio, for tuning in this evening. And for all of you who support not only this group and the ministries that partner with the station, but for those of you who have been supporting Leah and I as well.
It's an honor to be featured guests here with Evangelist Montel Fields on Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
And this is the part tonight where we talked about at the beginning of the show that if you've got a comment or a question that you'd like to call in, you can call in tonight, and you can call in at 347-308-8837. That phone number again is 347-308-8837, and you can call and talk to Montel or to Leah or to myself and share your thoughts or even a question if you've got one. And we look forward to hearing from you. And thank you again, and remember,
be strong
and be Hazak.
Thank you, Brian. And now, back to you, Montel.
What an amazing show tonight. You guys did an amazing job. And I love the song, Brian, that you sent to kick off the program tonight.
Well, thank you. It was a song a friend Don Blyle and I kind of threw together with the creative works of our band, the Daystar Project. We had a good run for about 12 years together as a band, and so that was a real fun Christmas thing. And Donnie's words in there really hit home about rushing around, jumping around into the stores, losing your mind.
He called it the crazy Christmas carol.
Christmas
Samba.
Yeah,
I really like it. Yeah, I really did like it. It's upbeat, it's fun, and I really did enjoy it. And it's really great to be back on. It's been so long with you and Brian on the air tonight, and just to get to sit and listen to you guys live. And praise God, my mom's come through all of her treatments. I was sharing with you earlier, she graduated radiation today. She's doing great.
Hallelujah.
God has kept her. And I thank you for all you've done to keep going as host and doing things yourself as I was taking care of my mother. I appreciate you both very much. You do an amazing job. Your show is, as I tell everybody, it's anointed, it's educational, it's fun, uplifting, encouraging. The list is endless, but you guys do an amazing job, and I appreciate you both so much and being hosts here and reaching out radio. And what an awesome show tonight. This is my very favorite time of the year. I love Christmas time. And if you could see my house, you might say I need intervention, as my son says.
one of those. We have a wreath we put on the front door because we're out here in the country. We don't have that many people.
Yeah, it's not a black wreath. It is a holiday wreath.
Yeah, I love this time of year. And I collect snowmen. I love snowmen. And my son keeps teasing me. He says I need intervention. And I like to put inflatables up in my yard. I just love to be joyful this time of year. But I encourage people all the time, as you guys are talking tonight, you know, keep the true meaning of the spirit of Christmas alive, and that's Jesus Christ. And I look forward to the rest of the party and teachings. And I love you and Brian, and I love your shows. And I know we had some callers earlier. If anybody out there, as Brian said earlier, is listening, and you have maybe have a prayer request, you have a comment, there's something that you want to share in regards to tonight's show, the number again to call is 347-308-8837. And remember to press 1 to be able to talk to your host. That puts you in the QA, and it lets us know that you have a question or a comment.
So you said you like to collect snowmen?
Yes, I like snowmen. And I think what part of it is, I'm particular about certain ones, but I think the white, honestly, I was speaking to my husband about this. When I look at it, well, most of them always have a smile. They make me feel joyful. And the white makes me think of the purity of newness. And that's always kind of been a thing with me. And snowmen, I love them. I have several. And my son does really keep teasing me because I'll get new ones. And my mom and I will go out together and do little Christmas shopping or just spend time together, get out of the house. And we happened to go to Salvation Army the other day, and everything, Christmas decorations, was half price. So me and my mother had fun, needless to say. Yeah, and then my son said, Mom, you really need intervention.
I was going to say, I bet that came out of his mouth, yep.
So is it?
Yeah, it really
so when you're looking at these things, are you eating your white popcorn at the same time?
No, it's not that bad yet. I've got some really unique ones, and I've got ones that my precious mom has, bought me, and my husband and my kids, and just different ones along the way I've collected. But that's just they just make me smile, and that's just really what it is for me. When I look at them, the white really makes me think of newness and purity when the snow first falls down. And I love this time of year. I love the spirit that's in the air, and I love time with family and just focusing on the birth of Christ, the greatest gift of all.
Cool.
Well, that's neat.
Well, we don't have snow, but sometimes we get a little flurry here and there during the winter if it gets just right, but oh well. We're too far south.
Yeah, y'all's in Texas.
We are.
Well, we're southern. In fact, the first year we were up here, because we've had snow a couple of times in Katy, just west of Houston. And in fact, I think the first year we were up here, the first Christmas, we actually got some pretty heavy sleet and snow that actually came in one day. In fact, I still keep some pictures of it for those people who say, oh, no, you never had that. And I go, yeah, well, here, take a look at this picture.
Right.
Because it stuck for a good day out here. That's the only challenge in Texas. It just won't stick for very long.
Yeah. So anyway, we get
quite a bit here. So maybe sometime I'll get some type of portable freezer and I'll ship you guys out some snow or some snowballs from Illinois.
Oh, great! Just what I need.
Oh,
something
thanks.
Else to freeze. I'll have to move the deer out of the. That is a freezer, though.
Yeah, wrong. No, it's pizza. No.
You got to make room for steaks down here, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well, very good. It was good that Dustin was off tonight.
Yeah, he got to listen to part of the program. I had a busy, really busy work day today, and my mom still needed her feeding tonight. So I could be on the air with you guys. My husband went ahead where it wouldn't be real late, and he went over to feed her for me, and I appreciate that very much.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
He
well,
was laughing so hard. Oh, my goodness. He was in the chair rolling. He's like, those two, he gets the biggest kick out of you and Brian. He loves your show. He loves how you play off each other. He loves the sports and the history facts and, he's like, where did I get some of this stuff? I said, I always love it because you never know what they're going to come up with.
You never know what we're going to do. And
yeah,
right.
She's always kind of amazed because what I'll do is after I've got everything together just for the history stuff, I'll hand her the paper to do a quick read, you know, so it's not even to proof it. It's just I hand it to her and I say, here, read. And she'll start laughing in there thinking, my God, where do you find this stuff? You're making this, you've got to be making this up. And I go, no,
yeah.
The information's out there. You just got to reach for it.
Yep.
you really do find some amazing facts and history things. And it's just like, wow, you know, Brian does his research.
That's right. I wouldn't have the patience to do that if I didn't have him do it, you know.
Well, there's a good, I think probably about four or five sites that I can go to really quick and get most of that stuff, and then sometimes I'll find it and I'll have to go back in and I'll have to double check it, and sometimes I go back to double check and find out that the dates are all wrong, or there's more to the story than what's there, and then you kind of go, oh, well, or there's really nothing to the story, it's just a small piece of fact, and I go, well, no, I don't want to do that. I want to be able to write the story up a little bit more creatively. So that's the fun part. And like Leah said, she said I really enjoy doing that, and I do. I like to pull it together and write the storyline to it. So.
Yep.
But we're really excited about doing Thursday night. We're going to be talking about Mary Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Leah made me kind of pull it back a couple of notches because I really wanted to put it in the terms of a nowadays 13-year-old girl being married, but she thought that was a little bit too much.
A little risky.
But we'll see. It's still early yet. I could change my mind, you know, and surprise her. So.
Yeah.
so we'll see what happens.
Well.
So now, how old is your daughter?
My daughter,
yes.
Chantel, she will be 19 in February.
19. Okay.
Yeah, she just graduated.
She just
graduated high school in May, and my son will be 21 in May. My babies are all grown up, but they're amazing kids. I don't get to see my daughter as much. She moved. And I miss her. I miss her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thankful to God that she's doing well and that she's happy in life. So, you know, that's the good thing. And my son, I'm very proud of him. He was through a temporary place, and then he got hired on full-time to his company in a short period of time. He gets employee of the Employee of the Day awards all the time, and now they have him training. So he's doing great in life. I'm really proud of him.
Oh, good.
That's good.
How's our friend Mary doing?
I just spoke with her yesterday. She's doing well, too. She's been traveling a lot, taking care of family and stuff. She's supposed to start being back on the air on Saturday nights, and we're trying to get things back up and running. I really appreciate everyone's understanding with, you know, the journey I've been on with my mom and her cancer. It takes a lot of time and appointments, surgeries, treatments, time over there with her feedings. It's been a journey, but God has kept us, and she has come through it. It's so funny, but you guys have got to speak with my mom on the phone and talk with her and pray with her several times and get to know her personality. But her cancer doctor, every time he walks into her room, he'll look at her and smile. He says, "Oh boy, there's trouble right there," and he loves my mom's upbeat personality. And She's full of life. She's full of spunk, and she's done amazing. God really kept her through the journey. She had 38 radiation treatments. We prayed over her every time before she went to treatment. She had no skin breakdown at all. The tumor has really responded even better than what they thought to treatment. She's done amazing, and I know that's just in the hand of God over her and all the prayer and her faith. And you know, many times we don't understand why we go through things we do at the time that we're going through them. And maybe there'll be times we will never know. But God always has a way of showing up and showing his power. He brings amazing people in your life when you go through these journeys. And he really does show us in those times that we can be overcomers. That I always love in the scripture. I love how the scripture, in every aspect that we have in life, every situation that we have in life, the scripture really does minister to us. If you want to know the answer, it truly is in the Word of God. And in moments, even with my mom, one of my things that it always sticks with me is God tells us that in our weakness, His strength is made perfect. That is so powerful to me. And in those moments, on those days, where it was just so much on my plate or seeing my mom cry or various things, I would pray and I would tell God. And I would just speak scriptures out like that. And that was what kept me through all of this. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. And I know God has plans for everything we've been through. And I truly believe he's done some amazing things through my mom and everything that's happened. And I know there's more to come, and her testimony is great, and I really hope to have her on here one night to share. But I think everyone's understanding. That's what I really hope to do. I really appreciate that you and Brian stood in there and did the show yourself and was understanding, and, you know, me happened to be absent, and all the listeners, too. And for everybody that continued to listen to Reaching Out Radio, even the nights we weren't on, I thank you guys for listening to the On Demand, because it kept our numbers going. It kept Reaching Out Radio out there. And we love and appreciate you all.
Yep.
Well, that's good. And I just want to remind people, while we're still thinking about time-wise here, is just if you do have a comment on tonight's show or if you've got a prayer request that you have or even a praise that you would like to call in or something special about the season that you'd like to call, remember you can give us a call here tonight at 347-308-8837. Get your pen and paper out there, and you can write down 347-308-8837, and that phone number will get us right to you. And when you get connected, as Montel said earlier, just press number 1, and that'll take you right up to the top of the list, and we can connect with you and hear what you have to say. And again, that phone number is 347-308-8837, and we look forward to hearing from you, because we'd love to hear what you think about the show and whatever else is on your mind for this evening about our show.
And maybe go ahead, Leah.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm going to be quiet because I'm about to lose my voice completely. It's just sinuses, I think, but it's just driving me nuts. So,
wow, a moment of silence here in the house.
Oh, hush your mouth. I can still give you grief, buddy.
sure this is for me. Well, what I was going to say is some people are scared to speak online. So Brian did share his email address and his personal phone numbers, too, if you're one of those people that don't like speaking on there, because there's a lot that don't like to. Just Brian wants to share the information with you again. That would be great, because as of right now, no one's pressing one or wanting to speak on air tonight.
Well,
sometimes
that's right.
The people
so
that do, sometimes not.
Well, if you want to connect with us, you can go. You can connect to our ministry website, which is www.hazakministries.com. That's HAZAK ministries.com. You can read our monthly blogs, and there's also a place on there where you can fill out a really short form and send us a prayer request, because it comes directly to my wife and I. Or if you've got a question for me, you can send that to Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at HazakMinistries.com. That email address again is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at H-A-Z-A-K, HazakMinistries.com. And we can respond to you from there. I actually have some people who will connect with me on LinkedIn. That's L-I-N-K-I, what is it, L-I-N-K-E-D, capital I-N, that's LinkedIn. And you can also connect with me through the professional business website through there as well, which I do have people from across the country and the globe who connect with me there as well. And we also wanted to give a shout-out for those that may be listening overseas, both in Africa, in Kenya, in India,
yep.
Also over in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
A big shout out to Craig Shrosby in the UK, and to our sister and evangelist that's out there spreading the good news. And for those of you that are listening in China and in Taiwan, and for those who are listening down in Aussie land, down in New Zealand and down in Australia, we love hearing from you guys as well. And we even had somebody who contacted us from Spain and Italy not long ago. So we give a big shout-out to those people who are also staying in touch with us there as well.
Absolutely.
God has really been opening up lots of avenues for people all the way from Florida to Maine to Alaska and to Hawaii. And even
uttermost parts of the earth.
That's right. Uttermost parts of the earth, you know. And so, so that's really exciting. And even for the Cajuns that are right there across the river there in Louisiana, we love hearing from them as well. So if you've got a question, you can always contact us through the website or the email that I gave to you, which is Brian@HazakMinistries.com. And I'm really good about responding to those. Our
yes,
phone number, if you want to reach us by cell, is 832-878-8043. If you're going to send me a text message, keep it short, because I would prefer to hear from you via email as opposed to texting. I don't text too well. I'm kind of old. And like,
yeah.
I tell Lee, I use the Columbus method for texting. I look at my phone, and I see those little numbers, and I search, find, and I land, hoping I'm going to find the right numbers to respond to a text.
And he never gets all the words right.
No, I don't. I just... I got short notes that I can just hit one and respond. So, and if you're inside the country and if you want to give us a call here, remember that we're on Central Standard Time. That means if it's 9 o'clock here, it's 10 o'clock in New York, and it's only 7 o'clock on the West Coast. But you can reach us on our handy dandy landline on the hill out here, as I like to tell my friends and neighbors. Yes, the Campbell soup cans do stretch out with string, and we can still get a good reception out here. So you can reach us at 979-357-2215. That number again is 979-357-2215, and we will always take your call because we love to stay in touch with people.
That's right.
And so just kind of a wrap for Thursday this week on the 10th. We're going to be talking about part two of The Reason for the Season. We're going to be talking about Mary on Thursday. That'll be a fun series. We'll also have some extra special music for you, so tune at the front to get a little Christmas rap in there. We'll have an extra instrumental song that Montel will be able to play after we get through with the monologue. And for the following Thursday on the 17th. On part three, we're going to wrap that up, and we're going to be talking about the birth of the Christ child. We're going to be talking about the Nativity. May have something neat to kind of share about the caravan and the three wise men, if I can find the info on that. That's kind of a cool little thing. We'll have another cool story for Thursday night to share with you about Christmas, and we'll also have at least one or two extra fun stories to share with you on the 17th. And on the 24th of December and the 31st, well, my bride and I are going to take a break for those weeks, and so our sister Montel is going to go back and find one of our previous studies to run. She may run them for 4 weeks in a row, or for 3 weeks, or 2 weeks, whatever we decide that what the first of the year is going to look like here. But and then we'll be back at the first of the year with some new study series. And usually you're going to find that we like doing a two or three or four part study series, because we like to take our time, we like to make it fun and educational, and because we want to. We want you to sit back and go, wow, I didn't know that, scratching my head. And so we'll try to make it really fun for you all each and every week. And, again, it's always fun and exciting to be out here on Reaching Out Radio with the Fields Family Ministries, where we're reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. That's so, my sister Montel, what else have you got for us before we get ready to close?
Just looking forward to your show coming up Thursday night, and it's been great to be live on air again tonight. And as you were sharing too, about, you know, all the different listeners around the world, my spiritual son Simon, he's over in China, and he was one of the many God brought in my life I led to the Lord. Well, he's been messaging me. He's studying to be a doctor in China, and people that he's over in China with, he shares the broadcast. Yours is one of them, and different ones. And praise God, he has led 60 people to the Lord over in China.
Amen. Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
I just love hearing stories about the kingdom and bringing people into the fold of Jesus Christ. What a great blessing that is.
It is amazing, and it's such a blessing, you know. You know, even though many times maybe they're not listening right when we're on because the time differential and different things,
right.
There's a lot of people that listen on demand, and the numbers change daily, and different ones share, and people comment, and it's a lot to keep up with, but it's what an honor and blessing to know that, you know, you're being heard, and Reaching Out Radio is being heard in places like China, and to hear people are being saved, that's a lot of people, 60 souls that's been led to the Lord, and I'm so honored to be a part of what Simon's doing. And I faithfully will share broadcasts with him and the links and just whatever God puts on my heart. And he's been faithful to reach out and, you know, to be a voice in China. And he also has a broadcast on the on-demand links. His very first sermon that he sent to me, if you scroll down through the on-demand links, you could hear Simon give a teaching on idolatry. But I just can't tell you guys, keep up the good work. You do an amazing job. You have a lot of people following you. Your show is fun. If ever I need a laugh, or if I, one thing I love about you and Brian, you are true servants. You are who you say you are. You don't change to satisfy man. You truly are about being servants, glorifying God. You're amazing prayer warriors, and you're an amazing blessing in my life, and I love you guys. And just keep up the great work. I look forward to what God's going to do in the new year, and if time allots it and you feel led, and you ever feel led to do a couple nights a week, I would love to have you guys, whatever God leads you in, just know that the platform's there, and we're honored to have you as part of our radio ministry.
Appreciate
that. Well, that's
that.
Great. That's great news to have, and we'll keep that in prayer about the extra show.
Absolutely.
Well, God
bless
you, sister.
God bless you.
We love you, girl.
Well, we'll be back on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and so we look forward to being part of Reaching Out Radio, where we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And remember, people, be strong and be Hazak.
That's
amen,
right.
Amen. God bless
you
guys.
Love you, sister.
See you Thursday night. All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.